I'm going to read a passage for you from the book of Matthew in the 28th chapter. If you would please rise to your feet. Let's just honor God and read of the word, and we're going to start with verse 5. And the angel of the Lord said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus." If we'd all be looking for him. "I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." Father God, thank you for your scripture. Thank you for this fact. And I pray that you would just anoint me to preach the good news, Father God, that it would be your words I speak and not my own. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. You may be seated. He is risen. This separates us from all other religions of the world. It's because he lives that I have a hope. It's because he lives that I have a future. He promised me. He said that he had a plan and purpose for me and for you. For a hope and a future. Not to harm you, but to prosper you. Some of you are still struggling, and I encourage you, draw close to him. You can't achieve true success or greatness until you connect with the Father who made you, who blessed you, who gave you your talents, skills, and abilities. It's only then, when you connect with him, that you can enter into that promise and that hope for a future, a prosperous future. It's because he lives that of the promise of provision, for protection, for healing, for peace, for prosperity, for a covering. It's because he lives that I have a solid rock that I can stand on. When all others are shaken, all others are fearful, they're running around like a chicken with a head cut off. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to say. They're complaining about this. Because he lives, I have the foundation of Jesus Christ. Because he lives, I have a banner over me like a mother hen putting her wing over her chicks. Because he lives. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, interceding for you and I. He is the best defense attorney anyone could ever have. Because we have an enemy who's called the devil, the great serpent, who lies, cheats, and steals, who's trying to destroy you, who attacks you, who fights dirty, and he wants to see you rot in hell, you and your children's children. See, this is a real thing. This is a real battle. And if we don't take it as such, we'll just walk around nonchalant and act like, oh, it's all good. It's not all good. Either you're hot or you're cold. You're serving God. If not, you're serving the devil. And if you're serving the devil, your foot is on the gas pedal and you're on the highway to hell. You're going there quick. This is what I want to tell you here this morning. There's a few things. One, God is real. His word is true. And eternity is long. He's alive. And because he's alive, he's protecting me. He's guiding me. He's giving me peace. He's giving me joy. It says that his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Some of you don't know where to go and don't know what to do. You're not going to find it in the magazines or the astrology or anything else. You're going to find your way through his word. Pastor Felix, that just doesn't make sense. How am I going to find out what class to go to, what courses and what job I can do? Listen, it said in the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. That means you're taking him into you. When he's in you, he can lead and guide you. It may be a story about Israel, but put yourself in the story. What did he do for them that he won't do for you? Okay, we gotta get into it because that will also increase your faith. by hearing the word. We heard that this morning. Jesus. Jesus. Acts 14:12 tells us, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Only by one name. Let me make this very, very, very clear. It's not by any other name. Not by Muhammad. Not by Allah. Not by Buddha, Hare Krishna, or any of the million of Hindu gods. It's not by any other name. Oh, see, you guys are getting a little quiet. You must be ashamed of that name. Let me read another verse for you. Oh, there's only one way. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No other person can say that. No other God or prophet or entity can say that they are the only way. See, they're all trying to get to heaven that God made. They're telling you you got to have holy jihad. They're telling you you got to serve so many ways to earn your way to heaven. They're telling you you got to deny yourself and live on a mountaintop. Wait a minute. They're trying to get into heaven, which my Father made, and my Father sent his one and only Son for you and I. And his one and only Son said, I am the only way. There's no other gods. There are entities, sure. There are belief systems, yeah. But they're deceived. I feel bad for them. But here's the thing, they're passionate about their deception. They will kill you for their deception. They are proud of their belief. Yet some of us are super secret agent Christians. Where are you going? I'm going to go eat my lunch. You lying. You're going to go do devotions, but you don't want no one to know. And yet they will sound the alarm and throw out their carpet and pray, and they will say they're offended by your cross. They will say they're offended by your God. They will talk to your court systems and make you take that all down, yet they have all the freedoms. Listen, I don't want to get too what I used to be, but what does that make us if we stand there quiet? Punk, sissy, you're not going to stand up for your God, but they're going to stand up for theirs, and theirs is dead. Theirs is dead. Mine is alive, amen? He's alive. Hallelujah. Oh, I get it. Some of you have some friends that are other beliefs, and you don't want to offend them. Well, your being politically correct is allowing them to go to hell without knowing the truth. I'm not here to be politically correct. Jesus didn't come to be politically correct. How so? If he was tipping over tables and whipping people. If he was challenging them in the very churches where they were spewing nonsense. There's only one way. There's no coexisting. That's a lie from the enemy. There's only one way. Matthew 10:32 says, everyone who acknowledged me publicly here on earth, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Those are red letters. Jesus said that himself. If you're ashamed of his gospel and his name here now on earth, he's going to be ashamed of you in heaven. And see, the world today has made us that way. Oh, don't you can say God, but don't say Jesus. You can pray, but we don't want to hear it. There's public schools, they don't give kids their diploma if they're praying out loud. They don't want them to bring their Bible to class. That's a lie. We have the First Amendment right, the freedom of speech. If they can pray to Allah, I can pray to Jesus. Try to tell me I can. Then what? You going to throw me in jail? Put me in the news? I'll tell more people about Jesus. Huh? You going to give me a platform? That's what happened to Paul. He said, I appeal to Caesar. Bring me to the top. I'll tell them all the way he went. All the governors, all the officials. He told them all about who? Jesus. So why are we so afraid? That you won't get that promotion? Who's your provider? Jesus. That you don't get that grade or that class? Who's your way maker?
Jesus.
That you won't get those friends? Or who's your comforter? What are you afraid of? Don't let the Satan lie to you. It's time for us as Christians to stop being, I'm trying to work, Lord, help me. Lily-livered, limp-wristed, sissy Christians. See, we can get macho as a man. Or a lady, like, what? But what about as a believer in Jesus Christ? Where's your backbone then? The real question is, do you believe that he's still alive? Do you believe that he is the only way? All of creations in Philippians 2:10 tells us that at the name of Jesus, you see, right now, everyone else is excited about calling on their names. They'll call on Muhammad. They'll call on Hare Krishna. They'll call on Buddha. They'll call on Allah. They'll call all that. And everyone's afraid to call on the name of Jesus. But you know that day is coming. That day is coming. Let me read to you about that day. All of creation, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Amen. 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 Every knee will bow. See, I don't want to wait until he, by his mere presence, causes everyone to bow. I bow before him now. Lord, you don't have to make me because I know who you are. I know what you've done. I have a relationship with you. Not only do I want to bow before you, I want to walk with you and talk with you. I want you to hold me in your arms. I want you to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come along, son. I have a way for you. I want more than just be a servitude. I want to be a partner in Christ to advance his kingdom. But see, here's the thing. I can't do it alone. I said, I can't do it alone. Do I have any friends in the congregation today that are going to partner with me in doing ministry? You see, I can't fix the roof by myself that houses the people of God. I can't fix the water issues that we have that invades God's house. I need help. We can't keep the lights on by myself. The sound system going, the live stream to you people at home. We can't do it by ourselves. Partner with us. You're getting the good word of God this morning. I'm not lying. I'm not pulling any punches. You can see everything that I'm talking about in the word of God. The verses are right up there. Tell me I'm wrong. Can you tell me that I'm wrong this morning? You can go to the gravesites of all the other gods. You can go to the gravesite of Muhammad. You can go to the gravesite of Buddha and all these other ones. Guess what happens when you go to the gravesite of my Lord? Woo! Why? Because he's alive. He's alive. He's not dead. The tomb is empty. He's risen. They even sent a special messenger. Oh, what you looking for Jesus? Didn't he tell you? Yo, he's not here. What other grave site has a messenger? They don't need one. They got a tombstone. Here lies so-and-so. That's it. They don't know. But because his tomb is empty, there needed to be a messenger. They need to say, he's not here. Just like he said, he's gone to heaven. He's gone ahead of you. Like I said, I'm not going to wait till he makes me bow. I bow now freely. Why? Not because Jesus is a megalomaniac. It's just because of who he is, how awesome he is. If somebody gave you $1 million, you're going to act pretty excited about it. Like, well, a million, well, okay, a billion or a trillion, whatever the case is. Here's what I'm telling you. The one who created the gold and the silver, that even if there was a shortage, he could snap his fingers and create some more. That's who I serve. That's my God. That's my God. See, some of you still haven't grasped that yet. I understand. Easter is a time you visit church, and it's a good idea. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But I don't want you to leave without understanding. This word is true. Others are proud of their faith. We got to be proud of our faith as well. Not back down. He's coming back very soon. That word says that he's coming back very soon. And let me tell you, in John 14, 1 through 3, let your heart not be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. See, the gospel story doesn't end at Calvary or the empty tomb. Yes, we celebrate that he's risen, but the story goes on. Not only has he risen and he's looking out for us, he's coming back again. Oh, come on, somebody. He's coming again. He's coming again. Say it. He's coming again. Oh, are you ready? Are you ready? Because he's coming again. Woo! I don't want to miss that boat. Oh, he's coming again. I got my ticket ready. He can look at me and say, oh, that's one of my kids. Right? People say that often. They look at my boys like, oh, you can't. Hey, that's one of his. Right? Can he look at you and say, oh, that's one of mine. That's my daughter. That's my son. Why? Because his character is in us. Because we display love, grace, mercy. We display passion. We hate sin, but we love the sinner. Oh, yeah, Jesus hated some stuff. He got excited about some things. Are you excited this morning? Are you excited? Now, here's the thing. He is coming again, and you can be ready if you're not ready. But I don't want to deceive you. I don't want to tell you a lie or make you think that it's going to be all peaches and cream or a walk on the beach. Because although the gift of salvation is free, it cannot be earned. It's a free gift, but here's the catch. It's going to cost you. We read in Matthew 10, 37 through 39, if you love your father or your mother more than you love me, then you're not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. Those are some tough words. Oh, I'll serve Jesus as long as I got a upper middle class job. I'll serve Jesus as long as I don't got to go in a foreign mission field. Oh, I'll serve Jesus if I don't got to give too much tithe and offering because, you know, I got to get mine. I'll serve Jesus if he sends me the right spouse. I'll serve Jesus if he makes sure my kids are healthy and strong. What if your kid is handicapped? What if he does call you to a far and away place and you never see your family again? What if he takes you to a place that you didn't intend to go, or give you a job that you never wanted, or a spouse that's a handful? Surprised some of you wives didn't say amen and shout me down right there. That was your chance. You just missed it. Maybe next year. It says here that we can't love anyone else more than we love God. That means when he called Pastor Felix away from his grandbaby and his mama and his sons and his family, his network, his resources, and all that he knew, I had to go. If I would have stayed, I would have been sinning against God. I would have been putting them higher than God's will. Anytime you put your will above God's will, you're headed for disaster. Be clear and know that it's God who's calling you. Be clear and know what the consequences are if we put other things in front of God. See, I want to live a life that's pleasing to God, not pleasing to my mom or my dad, although I love and respect and honor them. Not pleasing necessarily to my spouse, but I want to please the Lord. Now, her and I are one, and we have the same common goal and same common vision. And so we are pursuing God's will, good and perfect will. Not my will, his good and perfect will. And by doing that, I'm carrying my cross. Salvation is yours. It's free for the taking. I just don't want you to be deceived. It's kind of like, you know, I just want to ride in first class with no problems or no nothing. But they're passing out parachutes when you get on the plane. What are you talking about, Pastor? Okay, if you're going on a plane, they're passing out parachutes, and they don't explain it, and they're telling you, put it on, buckle it up. You're like, it's heavy, it's tight, I can't sit in my seat right, I don't know what's going on, this is uncomfortable, I don't like it, I don't want it. But what if they said halfway through this flight, the engines are going to fail, and the plane is going to crash? You'd be like, where's my parachute at? You better tighten that up. Get it on me, right? See, somewhere along life's road, you're going to go meet your maker. The question is, are you going to be ready? Are you going to be ready to meet him? He wants to meet you, but he wants to meet you now. He wants to have a relationship with you now. Salvation is yours if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And is by openly declaring. That means other people got to know. The time of being a secret agent Christian, that's done. I would dare wonder, are you a Christian if you can't openly declare? This right here says you're not. Your faith, you are saved. The peace, the joy, the provision, the healing, the protection, the mansions made in heaven can be yours if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you just play something softly. Yes, this is that portion of the service that I say, hey, if you haven't been living right, God is real. He's alive. He's going to prepare a place, but not for everybody. Let's not, just because you're a good moral person doesn't get you to heaven. Just because you're nice to other people or you give to charities, it doesn't get you a ticket. Matter of fact, there is no ticket to heaven. It's not a one-time prayer. It's a lifestyle. It's a relationship with the Father. I have a relationship with my wife. It wasn't a one-day thing. We got married, had honeymoon, and then I said, all right, peace out. I'll see you. No, I walk and talk with her day and night, and we're living life together. That's the relationship Jesus Christ wants to have with you. There was a time in my life where I had made that decision for Christ, but I got distracted. Can anyone understand what I'm saying? I got distracted by the things of life, the appeals of life. The Bible says the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That sums up all things. I wanted something that I knew Jesus didn't want me to have. So I stepped away from the path, the straight and narrow path, to go get what I wanted. And although I thought it was good and fun for the moment, it cost me. It cost me.